You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
For families, inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. The life and legacy of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. were being celebrated at the church he pastored in Atlanta. Linda Blackman Lowry, who marched in Selma as a teenager, says Dr. King was a great man who did a lot for everyone.
Dr. King was a great general. He led a nonviolent movement that didn't help just one of the people in the state of Alabama. At the time, it covered the whole entire United States.
At least five people across the Northeast were killed yesterday in crashes caused by rain flash freezing on roads. A crash involving 30 to 50 vehicles on Interstate 76 outside of Philadelphia killed one person, and two others died in a crash involving multiple vehicles on nearby Interstate 476, police said. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What if I told you that you could reverse diabetes and stop taking your diabetes medication? If you or someone you care about has diabetes or prediabetes, there's a special free video you need to watch. You may have heard about this. It's all over the internet. Diabetic99.com. People who have followed this plan at Diabetic99.com have not only normalized their blood sugar, but have stopped taking their diabetes meds completely with their doctor's approval. Diabetic99.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. Diabetic99.com will save you from being a slave to doctor-prescribed drugs. It's easy. Diabetic99.com gives you three specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient and solution is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself at Diabetic99.com. Watch for free at Diabetic99.com. Get back the quality of your life and free yourself from diabetes medication. Go to diabetic99.com.
The so-called Bonnie and Clyde teenage couple from Kentucky has been captured following their crime spree across the South. 18-year-old Dalton Hayes and 13-year-old Cheyenne Phillips were arrested when they were found sleeping in a stolen pickup in Panama City, Florida. AP correspondent Jennifer Kay reports Grayson County Sheriff Norman Chaffins says he's relieved that this crime spree finally ended peacefully.
He had worried that things weren't going to turn out so well for this couple, but he was very pleased to find that they had been found asleep in a car and surrounded by officers.
The two suspects were scheduled to appear in court today in Florida. They were reported missing from their Kentucky homes on January 3rd. Shots were fired Saturday night from a speeding vehicle near Vice President Biden's home in Delaware. The Secret Service said the Bidens were not at home. Later, a vehicle tried to pass a Newcastle County police officer securing the perimeter of the Biden residence. He was being questioned to see if he was involved in the shooting. You're listening to USA Radio News.
As a retired teacher, I look for ways to save money for the things I love, like traveling the world. Medicare plans change each year. Fortunately, my HealthMart pharmacist helped me understand my insurance, saving me money on prescriptions. And they can help you, too. My pharmacist cares about my health and the things I love, whatever that might be.
HealthMart, caring for you and about you. Visit HealthMart.com for the locally owned pharmacy near you.
President Obama's upcoming State of the Union speech tomorrow night will lay out a litany of Democratic pipe dreams that have little chance of becoming law, according to CNN News. But his proposals are popular with the voters. If the Democratic Party picks up on them, it could offer an early preview of 2016 election themes. American University professor Leonard Steinhorn says anybody expecting a contrite Obama, chastened by his party's election defeat, will be disappointed tomorrow night.
He's going to try and seize the initiative, set the agenda, lay out the issues, and then have Congress, the Republicans in Congress, react to him rather than vice versa.
Allegations of cheating immediately popped up following the New England Patriots' crushing defeat of the Indianapolis Colts. There were contentions that New England deflated the footballs to make them easier to throw and to catch. It's been confirmed that the NFL had seized one of the game balls for examination. In 2007, the team was penalized a first-round draft pick and fined $250,000 for illegally videotaping their opponent's hand signals. Coach Bill Belichick was personally fined $500,000 in that incident. And on this date in 1937, millionaire Howard Hughes set a transcontinental air record by flying his monoplane from Los Angeles to Newark, New Jersey in 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds. This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg.
Local weather today at 100inchamberradio.com. 39 degrees outside our studios here in Flemington. So today, Martin Luther King Day, mostly cloudy, high near 40. A little break from all the rain we had yesterday. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 24. Tuesday, partly sunny, high near 37. Cloudy on the overnight. Tuesday, low in the 20s. Rain or rain and snow mix likely on Wednesday, late in the afternoon. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, high in the mid-30s. Wednesday night, 30% chance of snow before 1 in the morning, low in the 20s. Sunny on Thursday, high in the mid-30s, down in the teens Thursday night, then clear again on Friday and Friday night. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table. Hey, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here. The chef at Jake's here in Flemington. Getting together on Monday mornings to talk about food and drinks or anything else that we might think of. Got a little late start. We were on Rewind from last week. So we'll try to catch up. Food, of course, the big game day coming up, they call it. I guess in here, we in the business are... It's tough to use Super Bowl in advertising now. They have a trademark, so we just call it Game Day. I guess that's the safest way to do it. Everybody kind of knows what that is. So it's a big, probably a bigger at-home day than I would say Thanksgiving or Christmas in some cases. It's like an unofficial national holiday. So next week we'll explore some strategies or ideas for game day. Of course, the standard stadium fare is in order. If you're ordering from your caterers or your favorite restaurants, I'd recommend getting your orders in early. Restaurants normally, I know for us at Jake's, that's pretty much what we do all day is just food to go. A lot of chicken wings, chicken, of course, our chicken tenders always. And some various other side dishes. We have some party kits planned where you get, say, a pan of pulled pork and some rolls and coleslaw. I make the, again, another trademark. It's called Bacon Explosion. Extreme Cuisine guys did it. I call it a bacon-wrapped sausage roll. I'd make it for the staff, for the owner. That's kind of our treat. But if you've never had that, it's... Italian sausage that's wrapped with a bacon weave, they call it, and the originators stuffed it with cooked, crumbled, crisp bacon, but we elected to put some ham in there, something a little bit different, make it our own, and a different, they use a barbecue glaze on the outside, try to make it your own. But that's one of those neat things. It's very, very, of course, high calorie, but a little bit goes a long way. So we'll be offering that. And a couple of other things, you know, of course, mac and cheese, all the side dishes. Shrimp's always nice. And what it is, too, if you're going somewhere, if say you've been invited, it's always nice to bring a little tray of something, even though most people have their food. I know oftentimes we'll have that happen. People call at the last minute. They want something quick just to take along for a house gift. So either way, if you're doing like a lot of people do, a combination of catered or purchased food and stuff they make by themselves. You know, the bakeries with the big hoagie rolls or hoagie rings, whatever you want. Usually those sandwiches are very good. And oftentimes easier to buy one of those already made than to try to get all the materials. Of course, you still have to get the bread anyway. You can't make a 3-foot hoagie or 4-foot hoagie in your home oven. So that's one of those staples that is nice. I like it because it can hang out. People can go back and cut little slices, little nibbles on it. So today, we're kind of working our way through culinary terms and kitchen tools, utensils, and we're up to letter C, and also some food holidays for this week. And we'll vary our little theme. We'll try to tie in some of the tools and utensils with the food days. The 19th, of course, today is National Popcorn Day. Didn't know popcorn had its own day, but apparently it does. And popcorn, of course, always a great snack. And whether you pop it yourself, of course, the microwave, I remember the Jiffy Pop when they came out, the little pan there that had the popcorn and the oil in it, and you just shook it over the stove and it blew up there to a nice, the foil unraveled and you got the nice big dome of popcorn. But popcorn's become kind of a bar snack also. I mean, when I started in the business, we had a popcorn machine, actually, that you would see in the theaters. The old Fireside Inn, and as soon as you walked in the bar, there was the hot popcorn under the heat lamp there. And oftentimes in the afternoon, you'd walk in, it was one of those commercial ones where it has the oil in it. You know, you put your oil in the heating container there with the popcorn, and we had this popcorn salt, very, very fine salt, so you didn't get the big crystal. It kind of dissolved the salt in the oil, and the thing had little paddles in it, turned around, so you have to keep popcorn moving. If you're doing any on the stove, you've got to keep it moving. You don't want it to burn. But that was always a treat, and now bars are seasoning, flavoring their own, whether they're even selling it as a snack, where we used to give it away years ago. 20th National Cheese Lovers Day. Gray will explore some topics on cheese today. And the 21st, also another favorite, New England Clam Chowder Day. There's a general clam chowder day in February, but this is strictly New England clam chowder. So we'll kind of go through some variations of that. 22nd is Southern Food, National Southern Food Day, or Blondies, Blonde Brownies, either one. Some of these days are doubled up. 23rd is National Pie Day. Who doesn't like pie? And it could be sweet or savory. But somehow this week, think of either baking or going out and enjoying a nice slice of homemade pie. And then the 24th, Lobster Thermidor. Specific dish had its own day. So we'll look at a procedure for that. And then along with some tools and little tidbits to tie it all together. We've got a break for a couple of messages right now, and we'll be back at Chef Bill's Table.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation and all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Are you tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
For too long in America, we've been putting off funding infrastructure, saying we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But on August 1st, 2007, hundreds of vehicles tried crossing the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and disaster struck. The I-35 bridge collapsed. 13 people were killed, 145 were injured, and traffic was obstructed for over a year. It didn't have to happen. Years before, inspectors had rated the bridge structurally deficient, but they were ignored. In New Jersey, we have 479 bridges carrying 8.2 million vehicles a day that are rated worse, and we can't afford to ignore that. As of June 30th, the state's Transportation Trust Fund will be empty. We need to replenish it so that our roads and bridges can be fixed and future problems prevented. And we can. Go to forwardnewjersey.com to find out how. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Hey, we're back at the table here, Chef Bill's table. See, so we've got some chowder to talk about, and some popcorn, and lobster thermidor, all kinds of neat things. Especially cheese. So, kitchen tools, cutting board. I know it sounds kind of why. Do we need to worry about cutting boards? But over the years, there's many. I've seen all kinds of materials out there, from plastic and polycarbonates. All you know, there's the white ones, different color. We have color-coded ones in the kitchen, ones that are used for poultry. Of course, that's a yellow one, and then a red one for raw meats, a brown one for cooked foods, green one for produce. It kind of helps keep from cross-contamination, so somebody doesn't go chop lettuce on a yellow board that hasn't been sanitized. So I always thought wood was the best. And when I started in the business, of course, all the cutting boards were wooden. And then people got a little, you know, said, oh, it's not that sanitary, and you get little nicks in it, and bacteria can hide in there. But a good maple or good hardwood cutting board that's fused together actually is very safe. One of the things we used to do, we had a, besides, you could do it with steel wool, but we had this brush, almost like a grill brush. And the nice thing about the wooden boards is, besides washing it, periodically you just kind of sand it down. And that's why they're very thick. I remember the one butcher down the road from where I lived going to get our chopped meat or stew meat for dinner. And his board, you know, of course, the wood is probably 18 inches or so thick. If you ever remember those old butcher blocks. And the thing was kind of scooped out from brushing. It was kind of, the guy was almost working in a bowl. It was, 'cause he kept brushing and brushing, of course, where the four legs were. The thing wasn't worn down. But you could see that thing had some years to it. And I always argued, you know, I thought, especially for your knives, cutlery, if you will, another C word, what happens with the other materials is it really dulls your knives. And I know, you know, people say, well, you know, like a hard plastic or porcelain or something is safe. It doesn't nick. Trouble with the plastic ones is when you do see a knife cut in there, that means there's dirt in there. That means it didn't get clean. The good thing about them is, you know, you can put them, sanitize them in the dishwasher very easily, and that's what we do with our plastic ones. And of course, the health department for years said, oh, you can't have any wood. Got rid of all the wood in the kitchen. Then finally discovered that really there was a natural antibacterial in wood. Bacteria really don't survive that well. Now, in cracks in the wood, you can get a collection of dirt, but the wood itself just naturally, you know, finally won that battle where the wood was the better thing. It's kinder to your knives, doesn't dull them as quickly as the other hard surfaces, and that's sometimes I think the plastic boards were invented by knife makers so they could sell us more knives, or at least knife sharpeners, but that was just my theory as a young cook. So don't be afraid to use wood, and if you do get a larger nick in it, you can always sand it down with either plain steel wool, not doesn't have to be the soapy kind, or a brush, a stiff wire brush, and you'll get many years of use out of it. You know, I think the Chinese cooks have a little round one that sits on the tabletop. They're a very, very thick piece of wood. You want it to be solid, or at least the wood is fused together properly so you don't get any cracks in it. And putting a wooden one in the dishwasher is probably not the best thing to do, because then it's going to warp it. So if you get a nice, good hardwood cutting board, take care of it, and it will take care of your knives, too. And something, speaking of knives, something that was thinking about, a carving knife. Sometimes they're called slicers. If you do roasts, you'll want a longer, narrow knife, not serrated. Now, serrated knives are good for bread, good for fruits. I remember the electric carving knives, the two blades that kind of seesaw back and forth. And I guess if you have to break through the skin on a ham or a leg of pork or something like that, but they're really, the serrated ones sometimes will shred the meat a little bit. They're easy to use, but a nice carving knife, and carving and slicing, kind of interchangeable terms, but carving really is an art. I know I learned to carve early on in my cooking days. We did a buffet every week, so I had to carve a steamship roast and a turkey every week, serve it right on the buffet line. And you learn carving, you want to always slice across the grain. You can see which way the grain, the little lines, the muscle structure is of what you're carving. And you go across that. You don't go with it. You don't want shreds. Best seen in, say, a piece of flank steak. And you'll see the fibers are very pronounced. And you can, they run the length of the flank steak. And, of course, after you cook the steak, let it rest, you're going to go across those fibers so your end product is more tender. if you slice it lengthwise with the fibers, it's like corned beef. You see some of the delis where they're hand slicing, not even using the slicing machines, but the pastrami or the corned beef are hand sliced. And neat thing about that, again, the brisket has the muscles that run two different ways, so you can slice one section across the grain, then the other section, you'll turn it 90 degrees and be able to slice across that, so you get the most tender meat. So a carving knife, I suppose, you know, the chef's knife, cook's knife is the other one, the standard French knife, if you will. Sometimes you'll see it termed like that, and anywhere from 10 to 12 inches is good. Some people like it a little smaller, but just that elongated triangle that seems to be able to be used for anything. Another thing I'd find useful in the kitchen is a colander, C-O-L-A-N-D-E-R. No, it's not. We're looking at the dates. It's a strainer. Some people will call it a strainer, but a colander, fairly large. I like stainless steel. A lot of them are plastic, but if you do any amount of cooking where you're cooking pasta or even for washing greens and vegetables, the colander has fairly large holes. It's not as fine as a strainer, and this so water can drain easily out of it. I like the stainless steel, and of course, don't buy one that's bigger than your sink, but with the handles, this way, if you're draining pasta or potatoes, anything like that, I know the temptation is to kind of just hold the lid on the pot and drain the water off, but you never get all the water out of there. But the colander, again, useful for washing vegetables and greens, anything where you need to drain product over the sink. The colander, usually it has a base to it so it doesn't roll around, nice and solid. And again, if you can get a stainless steel one, recommend it instead of the plastic, especially if you're pouring hot water and various things on there. It'll last for a long time. Another thing that we think probably, depending if you do a lot of baking or confection work, but even for deep frying, a candy thermometer. And they have deep fry thermometers and candy. The candy thermometers are nice. They go up to at least 400 degrees. If you're caramelizing, which is one of today's culinary terms, when you caramelize, what do we mean caramel? We think caramel is nice brown confection. When you caramelize, you're browning the natural sugars and things. And with a candy thermometer, it's going to tell you at what stage your sugar syrup is. So you're getting hard, medium, soft crack. You could test sugar solutions by dropping them in cold water and then seeing if they remain a little bit soft or if they turn right to brittle. But if you make candy or confections, or even a flan, you want to caramelize sugar a little bit. The candy thermometer will help. Plus, again, if you do any deep frying or shallow frying, it's as long as you don't shoot over 400 degrees, you're fine. But it gives you that 100 to 400 degrees range, so you can see what temperature your caramel is, or your sugar solution is at, or your oil. Usually it has a clip on it, so you can clip it to the side of the pot. You don't have to stand there and hold it. So a candy thermometer. Besides our instant read thermometers for checking roast, that's if you spend any time in the kitchen, it's a handy thing to have. A couple of other utensils. Actually, chowder, which we're going to talk about today, the word comes from the chaudière, which is a cooking vessel for a fish soup in France. And then another dish, we're running it now, Jake's, the cassoulet. And there's a little vehicle, if you will, for food called a cassoletta. Sometimes you'll see onion soup served in them. They usually will have one handle or two handles, nice crock, if you will. But these are dishes that you can actually cook in, bake in the oven, and then they look nice enough to serve the food in. Keeps individual portions. Nice way to do something if you're doing a dinner. If you have your items in individual dishes like that, you can keep them warm or do your final baking and then serve them right in the same vessel. Keeps the food hot, and it frees you up from having to do last-minute cooking. We've got a break for news and weather, and we'll talk about some culinary terms and maybe a couple of recipes, some chowder, some lobster thermidor, maybe some ideas for cheese. Some of these food days coming up. Chef Bill's Table.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. The life and legacy of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. were being celebrated at the church he pastored in Atlanta. Linda Blackman Lowry, who marched in Selma as a teenager, says Dr. King was a great man who did a lot for everyone.
Dr. King was a great general. He led a nonviolent movement that didn't help just one of the people in the state of Alabama. At the time, it covered the whole entire United States.
At least five people across the Northeast were killed yesterday in crashes caused by rain flash freezing on roads. A crash involving 30 to 50 vehicles on Interstate 76 outside of Philadelphia killed one person, and two others died in a crash involving multiple vehicles on nearby Interstate 476, police said. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What if I told you that you could reverse diabetes and stop taking your diabetes medication? If you or someone you care about has diabetes or prediabetes, there's a special free video you need to watch. You may have heard about this. It's all over the internet. Diabetic99.com. People who have followed this plan at Diabetic99.com have not only normalized their blood sugar, but have stopped taking their diabetes meds completely with their doctor's approval. Diabetic99.com is a natural, drug-free approach to reversing diabetes with remarkable results in as little as 4 weeks. Diabetic99.com will save you from being a slave to doctor-prescribed drugs. It's easy. Diabetic99.com gives you three specific actions to get your blood sugar under control. And the best part is the main ingredient and solution is a common spice found in most kitchens. Watch the free video for yourself at Diabetic99.com. Watch for free at Diabetic99.com. Get back the quality of your life and free yourself from diabetes medication. Go to Diabetic99.com.
All right, time to check the local weather for the week. Up to 41 outside our studios in Flemington. And for our area today, mostly cloudy, high near 40. And cloudy on the overnight, low in the mid-20s. Sunny on Tuesday, high near 37. Cloudy Tuesday night, low in the mid-20s. Wednesday, rain and snow likely, becoming all snow after 4 p.m. Let's see. Usually we get that mix. High near 34, so quite possibly we'll have that local mix. Chance of snow later on Wednesday night, low in the 20s. Thursday, sunny, high near 34. Cloudy Thursday night, low in the teens, possibly. And sunny again on Friday. And Friday night, cloudy, low in the teens. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Did you know that one in five people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Anyway, we're back at the table. So, culinary terms that... Oh, by the way, cutting boards, what we do is always put a damp towel underneath. I know you can get these little pads that go under there. Even like a little chick's wiper or something. Anything. We like a towel, not too thick, but always dampen the towel. If you just use a dry towel, of course, what happens, the cutting board may slide, and that's where you can lose a couple of digits there off your fingers. So you want the board to be firmly in place. So a damp towel underneath is the safest thing, best thing to do. Make sure the board does not move too much, so you don't want to miss while you're chopping things. So just a little hint from professional kitchens. I know some boards have those little legs on them and whatever, but if they're non-stick, but you really want that board to be firm against the counter and have that, you have that little damp cushion there, so it's doesn't slide around on you. So if you ever see on a menu the word coulis, C-O-U-L-I-S, what is that? Oftentimes refers to fruits. It's a smooth puree, kind of like a sauce. You'll see it sometimes with tomatoes or peppers. As I say, which are both fruits anyway, so that's what I say. Usually it's used in conjunction with fruits, whether savory or sweet. And what you'll do is, if you're making a coulis, is either with raw or cooked food, oftentimes cooked, seasoned. In the case of fruit, you may want to sweeten it a little bit. And then you'll puree it and strain it. You know, some recipes, if you like a little texture in there, it's fine, but it should be very smooth. So we always pass these kind of things through a strainer if you can. But could be warm or cold, but oftentimes used to designate maybe a cold fruit sauce. Now, confit, a term that relates to our cassoulet this week. Duck leg confit. What's confit? C-O-N-F-I-T. And this word is also used for other things. It was classically with the poultry. And what is usually the legs of the poultry are cooked slowly in basically its own fat. You can add a little bit of oil, but it's almost like, I guess you'll see butter poaching now sometimes for lobster, or an olive oil poached tuna. And this is the idea. Very low oven, 250 or so degrees, 300 degrees. And it was a way of preserving. Initially, something like duck or goose, very fatty poultry. And, of course, the fat you want to save and use it. But the idea was to cook it. You'll have it cured first, another C word. First with a day, rub it with salt. And then you'll have your bay leaf, a couple of spices in there, however you want to flavor it. And then slowly cook it in. You have just enough oil to cover. And, of course, the fat's going to melt out of the poultry. And the product at the end should be very tender. And the idea was to let it cool off in the fat. And that the fat sealed over top would actually preserve it. Because all the, you know, there's no water left in there. It's just cooked in the fat. And no air could get to it. So if you saw, you know, like say a potted meat or preserved goose or something like that, that's what it would be. It would be roulettes, another thing you'll see, the shredded meat, and sealed up with the fat, kept in, you know, before refrigeration. You had of course, the meat was cured, salted, so that made it a little safer. And then you could store it, say, in a cellar at 50 degrees, and it would give you some shelf life on it before the days of refrigeration. Now we do it for flavor. So making your own confit. Oftentimes, if you just need a little bit, say one or two duck legs for a cassoulet, you may want to buy it. But if you like doing your own, it is a treat. And now sometimes you'll see tomato confit, which would be a slow roasted tomato in the oil. you'll see the term kind of thrown around there. But a confit is, just remember, it's something cooked slowly in oil and seasonings. Very tender, very flavorful. Another preserving method, corning. When you see corned beef, what does that mean? There's no corn floating around in there, right? I guess the corn referred to the larger pellets of salt that were used. But corning is another way of preserving. I think the British Navy, well, they called it salted beef then. And what happens is the salt brine, and the best way to do it, of course, is to cook it with your aromatics. First, you have some bay leaf, peppercorns, whatever you have in there. I know when I make a sauerbraten, I have the juniper in there and the cloves, those kind of spices there, and the red wine and the wine vinegar. If you bring it to a boil and then let it cool off, you're drawing out more flavor. If you just put water and salt and sugar in there and then throw a couple of bay leaves, I don't think you're going to get that much flavor out of them. So you always boil your liquid first. And what I do is I use half the water that it's called for, and then once it's boiled, I let it sit, and then the other half would be ice, and it brings it down to a cool temperature pretty quickly instead of waiting all that time. But corning was beef, and of course pork products, anything that has that reddish color. The nitrite was added two reasons. One was to make it look like cooked beef. It was supposed to be red, like a medium rare. I don't think the color is anywhere near what really a medium rare looks like, but that was the idea. But the nitrites also help preserve. They're antibacterial. In recent years, people try to limit their consumption of that. Used to be necessary for preservation. Now it's more for flavor. And I guess the problem comes if you char it up too much. It forms some other kind of substance is not good for us. But again, don't need a steady diet of it. And I guess just like with bacon and things, just don't caramelize it too much. Don't burn it too much, and you'll be good to go. Of course, corning, besides being a preservation, charcuterie, you'll see that sometimes as a category on restaurant menus now, or maybe a plate. Charcuterie refers to basically anything you're making with pork. Now, there may be, again, stretching out the term a little bit, include some other cured meats or poultry, sausages, things like that. But basically, charcuterie was taking every part of the pig there and making use out of it. So that's where, you know, you have your head cheese, you have bacon, you have pâtés, the dried sausages, smoked sausages. Many things, of course, made with ground pork, but really all the parts that, you know, weren't your prime loin or ham would be, of course, but a prosciutto would be considered charcuterie. That's, again, something to preserve and keep it for down the road. So we've got a break for a couple of messages here. And remember, if you see something caramelized, when you're caramelizing, if you're making an onion soup, or if you want caramelized onions on your hamburger or your steak, you need to have patience. You can't just blast it over high heat and get them too dark too quickly. What you're trying to do is release the moisture in there. What happens is there's natural sugars in many things, especially onions or even, you know, carrots, some of those root vegetables. And you cook them slowly to get the water out, and then you got to stir them once in a while. And then towards the end, once that steam slows down, that's the time to really pay attention. And again, you want medium to low heat. You don't want to blast it. Some people add a little bit of sugar to help the cause, but I think there's usually enough natural sugars, especially in onions, that you don't need to do that. But caramelization takes time, and you get that fine, that really tight window there where it's caramelized, and then it can turn to burnt right away, just like if you're using doing with sugar. It's at 1 minute it's caramel, and 30 seconds later you can't walk away from it. You've got to stand there and finish it off. So we'll break for these messages here, and we'll look at some chowder and some Thermidor, maybe.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi. This is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, you have probably already gathered a lot of information. In a way, that is a little like taking a drink of water out of a fire hose, in that you're no longer thirsty, and at the same time are a little overwhelmed by all of the information that you have found. This is where I can be of help. As a local real estate market specialist, I can help you by understanding your objectives, showing you how to assemble that information that you've already found, supplementing it with highly accurate and timely data that I have access to, and assisting you in developing a strategy to turn your objectives into reality. Let's start by spending a few minutes over the telephone. Please give me a call at 908-238-0118 to get that process started. If you are considering buying or selling a house this year, we should be talking now. Once again, this is Joe Peters at Weikert Realtors at 908-238-0118. And you could also visit my site at my first initial J, my last name, Peters.com.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
All right, back at the table here. So, for clam chowder day, what are we going to do? Make some New England clam chowder. It's a favorite at the restaurant. We once in a while we'll do the Manhattan, or we'll do sometimes a Louisiana style. Just vary a little bit, but really chowders are built. It's not. It's more of a process, and you have your, of course, your big pot for it. And I guess the issue, of course, between the New England and Manhattan. We're just going to deal with New England today, so no tomatoes, sorry. Thickening. Now, I find a lot of guests, they want to see kind of a thick chowder, and I don't think necessarily it has to be super thick. That just means there's more flour, and it doesn't mean it's any richer. It's not, I mean, if you want a good, nice, rich chowder, use heavy cream. But your traditional recipes would call for milk. And, you know, milk from years ago, that was the nice whole milk was a little bit different than now. Today, it's all kind of you know, you've got 1%, 2%, regular, you got half and half, you've got all these varieties of, you know, the percent of butterfat in there. It's, I think all the milk is basically skimmed and then the fat's added back in just to get it to the level you want. So, but good whole milk should be thick enough. Now, if you want to avoid flour, a couple of ways to do it. Of course, when you're cooking your potatoes, if you use a nice starchy potato, some of that starch is going to dissolve in and help thicken the soup. Or you could use potato starch. What I like to do, and I do it with my sausage and potato soup, which is kind of like a sausage chowder, if you will, is I take some of the potatoes and I'll cook them with the onions in the broth and then puree those. I use the immersion blender so it's nice and smooth. The onions are pureed. And then add the other ingredients back into the soup. And another staple with New England chowder, of course, you want some kind of bacon or salt pork in there. A variation I've done, if I wanted to keep it meat-free, is actually a little bit of smoked salmon. And you don't even need center slices. You could probably, you know, maybe at the fish store or the deli, ask them for some of the chopped smoked salmon or a couple of end pieces there. Maybe they'll give you a little break on it. Because you just want that smoky flavor. And I find a little smoked salmon in there really goes a long way to, if you like the smoked flavor, but you don't want to or you can't have the bacon or the salt pork in there. So another little tip there to vary it. And then the clams, what do we use? Well, you can get the canned chopped clams. And there's a variety of grades on those. You can find minced, you can find chopped. You find sea clams, you find ocean clams. We prefer the ocean clams to the sea clams, a little better flavor. But truthfully, you get those big quahogs, the chowder clams, they're huge. You get a few of those and steam those open and then chop those after they're steamed. The advantage is you get some clam broth. You don't have to buy any clam juice. You could buy fresh chopped clams or fresh minced that are packed in their own juice. And, of course, when they cook, they're going to release some broth also. Want to go upscale, of course, you get little neck clams and steam them. And then I would just take them out of the shell and leave them whole in the soup. Of course, that's, again, a little more costly way of doing it. But if you like nice, tender, small clams, it would be the way to go. And again, when you buy your clams fresh, you'll get your broth. Remember, if you're steaming them, always strain the broth. I'll use either a paper towel in my strainer just to a coffee filter would work. So if there's any sand in there, you don't want to get that into your soup or your chowder. You know, the quick way to do it is just to pour off the broth. You can see the little bit of silt or whatever in the bottom of the pot. Just leave that behind. But if you do want to strain it, paper towel is the best way. Or you could use cheesecloth, another C word. Another variation on the chowder, of course, and I've done this at the restaurant. It's a nice way to present food, is roasted cod, New England style. And what we do is deconstruct the chowder and serve that as a garnish for a nice pan-roasted, nice thick white fillet fish. Cod would be great for this. If you can find a nice thick piece of cod, lightly flour it or not, depending on your needs and preferences. And brown in some oil. Canola oil is fine. Get it brown on one side and then finish it off in the oven. 400 degree oven is good. But what we do is we have all the components of chowder. And, of course, the nice way to do it is with little neck clams. So you have some clams steamed. You can set those aside. You have your bacon crisped, which you can save that bacon fat to saute your onions, make your chowder base, which is you could use a little white wine if you want, although normally not called for, but just make your New England chowder base, your diced potatoes in there, a little parsley, and you could save the bacon crumble it, crisp it, and sprinkle it on top afterwards. But what you end up with is a nice piece of roasted fish with the diced potatoes, the crispy bacon, and a few clams scattered around in this nice, creamy, makes its own sauce. And what's better than that? A little salad on the side, a little bread for sopping up the juices, a nice way to present your main course of fish. The Corvina would be good. We're running it now. It's a South American fish, sometimes called a Mediterranean bass also. But Corvina is another nice, thick, white, meaty fish that would be good for this process. Now, lobster thermidor, what's that? We have our own day for this. And a couple of stories about who came up with it. Somebody's always claiming credit. But basically, it's lobster in a mustard-based cream, maybe mushrooms also, if you like. And what we do is steam the lobster, not all the way, just undercook it a little bit. You want to be able to get the meat out of the shell, especially the claw and knuckle meat. And you'll save the meat, of course, save the two body halves there. And you'll slice or dice the meat. You make it with heavy cream, a little mustard, wine, mushrooms if you like. And blend in the lobster meat, put it back in the shell, and then use either a cheese sauce or a Mornay or grated cheese on top and bake in the oven. And you've got this nice, elegant lobster that's easy to eat. Great, again, for a do-ahead, for a party. You could combine other seafood, if you like, with it, but the lobster thermidor has its own day, so maybe try that. If you wanted a quicker version, just use lobster tails. I would still, the tails, you can take the meat out of raw. I would split the tails open, take out the meat, and dice it, make your sauce, put it back in. You could have nice individual stuffed lobster tails. Well, that's it. Another hour's flown by. And we'll talk about game day ideas next week at Chef Bill's Table. We've got to sign off now and get ready for In the Aisle with Sue from ShopRite. Have a nice week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Bob Kellogg. President Obama is expected to call for tax increases on the rich to fund middle-class programs when he gives his State of the Union address tomorrow. AP correspondent Tim McGuire reports.
White House advisor Dan Pfeiffer tells CBS Face the Nation that the president wants to increase the capital gains tax for families making $500,000 or more a year, eliminate some inheritance tax breaks, and impose additional fees on financial firms.
The wealthy to pay a little more and invest more in the middle class, give the middle class a raise.
But Florida Republican Senator Marco Rubio, also on Face the Nation, calls the idea of taking from one class to give to another outdated.
In order for some people to do better, someone has to do worse. It's just not true.
The administration estimates that the proposals would generate $320 billion over a 10-year period.
At the same time, Republicans want to lower or eliminate the capital gains tax and want to end taxes on estates. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What if I told you that you could reverse diabetes and stop taking your diabetes medication? If you or someone you care about has diabetes or prediabetes, there's a special free video you need to watch. You may have heard about this.